Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk here on Blog Talk Radio for today, September 3rd. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, and I'm joined tonight by Cynthia Jones, who's helping me out in the chat room. Tonight, our guest is Farrah Carter of the Lifetime reality series, Blush. Farrah hasn't called in tonight, so I just kind of wanted to start the conversation off just by kind of talking a little bit about the series, but first, before I do that, let me just say, for those of you who may be calling in, I would appreciate it if you would limit your questions or comments, limit your time on the phone, actually, till about 2 minutes. That way we can keep several phone lines free so that we give everyone a chance and opportunity to call in and talk. For those of you who are in the chat room, the giveaway tonight in the chat room is being sponsored by Illusions Cosmetics, and we have made some few changes. Well, we've made up some rules, I guess you should say, about the chat room. And we are now limiting wins to every 30 days. So if you win tonight, you can't win again until 30 days have passed. That gives everyone else a chance to have opportunity to win. If there is not a winner tonight in the chat room, then we will move the prize or the giveaway to the next Thursday. So, so that way it'll be fair to everyone. And so the way that you win in the chat room is the person who gets in the chat room and does the most chatting, I should say, the most talking, asking the most questions, the most participation. So those are the rules for that. If you want to call in to join the conversation, you can call in by dialing 914-803-4398. Again, the number is 914-803-4398. 914-803-4398 is the number. You can send your comments and questions in by emailing them to us at illusionsinfo@illusionsbeauty.com. Cynthia.
Yes, Janice.
You saw the whole entire series, Blush, did you not?
Several times.
Like, yeah. I know I have them downloaded on iTunes. But what did you think about the series as a whole? Do you think it's a show that they should bring back?
I absolutely think it's a show that they should bring back. You have so many other competitions and reality shows. You have, Split-Ins for hairstylists. You have, Project Runway. We don't have anything geared specifically towards makeup artists. And I feel like with this show, it allowed us to have that platform to say, hey, yeah, we're important too, just like the rest of the team members that we typically work with. And it also gave us the opportunity to see, you know, makeup artists under tight timing constraints, different scenarios that they had to, you know, work through, things that they didn't typically do on a regular job or, you know, a regular beauty job. They had to do something above and beyond. So I thought it was very creative. I thought it was a great idea. I also believe that they should bring it back.
Right. I also really enjoyed the show. Sometimes I just watch it over and over and over just when I want to get inspired. I think it was, for makeup artists, it was an opportunity for us to say, hey, look, you know, I need to brush up on this skill, or I need to start trying to think a little more creatively. I think, I mean, it would have been an awesome challenge, I would have thought, you know, if I were, you know, competing on that show. I probably wouldn't care so much about winning, but just the fact that I was there surrounded by other makeup artists and that it would have challenged me in a way that I'm normally not challenged.
Exactly. And I'm sure they all left with some new learning experience about, you know, their craft, you know, how they can better it, you know, or work on timing, you know, cutting down your makeup application. You know, I'm sure they walked away with knowing and learning a whole lot more, even if they, you know, didn't win like Nolan did.
Right. Absolutely. Who was one of your favorite contestants, if that's what we call them, contestants on the show?
That's a hard question.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they all brought something different because of their personalities. I loved Maxie's makeup style. I mean, he was very, very good. He was a craft. He knew what he was doing in the with the period makeup. So I was very impressed with that because, you know, I said to myself, I said, wow, I need to step up my game where it comes to period makeup. I also enjoyed Farrah. I thought she was an excellent makeup artist as well. I don't know. They all brought something different that I liked. But, you know, so I don't know that I necessarily have a favorite, but I did like Max's creative style.
I think I would have to agree, like, well, matter of fact, I will choose a person. I did think that Maxie was the best and the most talented makeup artist there. You know, they always talked about, I used to hear Nolan say a lot on the show, you know, I don't think Maxie is the best person to represent Max Factor, and maybe not. But as far as who was the greatest makeup artist there, it would definitely have to be Maxie for so many different reasons. You know, even though the prize was winning a contract with a major cosmetic brand, so I guess, you know, when judging, they were looking for different things. You know, I really would love to have seen their list or their criteria as to what they would say is a great makeup artist. Because maybe I'm thinking that sometimes maybe some things they may have thought weren't things that I would even think of. Like, you know, because this person was going to win and represent a cosmetic brand, then they probably had a certain criteria. But when we think about great makeup artists, we don't necessarily think about makeup artists who represent a cosmetic brand. You know what I mean? We're not necessarily saying this person has to be able to sell makeup, or this person has to be able to represent a company in a corporate arena. We just think more of their skill level. Would you agree?
Right.
But I would say that I really do think that Maxie was the best. Now, I do think that when it came down to the final three, I think they probably had the most three talented people in the top three.
I agree. That was definitely my choice as well. I'm the author of all things makeup. But I definitely agree that the top three people, those were the ones that they definitely deserve to be there. But I know it was tough. You know, Farrah was fighting. She was really trying. I mean, I know it had to be difficult. I would have probably lost my mind being in that, type of competition. But it was a challenge, and, you know, I believe that they definitely learned from it and, they were able to grow from that show.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think the top three were the best three. When it came down to the final two, I was still in total agreement. I thought you had the best two makeup artists there in the top two. And as far as representing a brand, I believe they chose the right person. But when I just thought Maxi had that creative edge over everyone.
I agree.
Yeah.
Just but we all know Maxi.
Right. But just to be able to just come up with something, I mean, the way he did in most challenges was amazing to me. And that, like I said, again, it would have been such a challenging thing just to even be there for me. You know what I mean? To just step out of your norm sometimes.
Right.
And,
right.
Listening to Maxi talk about, using whatever you have in your kit, and it's really taught me to, not so much always worry about packing everything or having everything. It's great to have everything that you need when you do a job, but if you forget something or,
use something else,
you use something else. And I think that in itself is challenging, you know what I mean? Because we're so used to packing everything. And trying to have, at least I am, I can say for myself, and having everything.
Right.
And then when you don't have your a certain brush that you normally use or a certain product that you like to use or a certain color that you normally keep in your kit, you sometimes feel out of place.
Right.
And it just makes you feel weird, and then you're like, sometimes you feel like you're thrown off just for the rest of the day. Oh, wow, I can't believe I didn't have that. Now I'm not going to be able to do this, and it really shouldn't be that way.
Exactly.
So, watching him just pull things from out of nowhere to create something beautiful was a great lesson for me.
Yeah, I definitely, because, sometimes, like that first episode where they brought, the fruits and the plants and, all that stuff, powders, curry powder and everything, and it was, okay, do makeup, go. It's like, what in the world? But you're learning how to use your resources without having to go and spend all the thousands of dollars that we typically spend on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis,
Right.
But, I definitely, that first challenge to me was just an eye catcher. I was like, I have to tune in for the rest of the season.
Right.
Let me ask you this. If you heard this week on Twitter, that Max Factor he's not closing the business altogether, but he's getting rid of Max Factor in the U.S. Did you hear that this week?
Yes, I heard that this week, and I heard that before this week as well. And I don't know the reason, but that's kind of interesting. It's very interesting, but I don't know the reasons behind it, because a lot of the things that I read never really stated why. It was just like little blurbs that just said, this is what's going to happen.
Right. I don't know if it had anything to do with sales in the U.S. over time, but apparently overseas is doing, way better. It, They were saying even better than CoverGirl, the article that I read.
But it's just the Max Factor brand, right? Is that that's the case?
Right, right. Because I know for the past couple of weeks, I was in stores looking for Max Factor Erase, and I couldn't find it. And I was like, I couldn't find Max Factor anywhere. But I guess they said 2010, but it looks like some stores are slowly, you know, just pushing it out.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a brand that pretty much everyone looks to from time to time. I guess not enough, huh?
I guess so.
What's going on in the chat room?
Well, we have Christina Ashley in the chat room, and she said she's never seen the show Blush, so I told her where she can get it, where she can watch it online. It's actually on Lifetime.com right now. She can just watch it.
It's also on iTunes.
Yeah, she could also purchase it on iTunes as well. She said she's never seen the show, and we started talking about Max Factor, and she was just saying that made her sad. You know, she really loved Max Factor. I think we could all relate. Max Factor's been around for forever.
Right, exactly. Well, thank you, Christina, for always tuning in like you always do. So we really do appreciate that. And again, to those of you who are out there listening, our guest tonight is Farrah Carter from the Lifetime reality series Blush, but she has not called in as of yet. So we are still moving forward with the conversation on the reality series Blush. What else did we see? I'm trying to think. What else did we notice or that stood out to us on that show? One of the things I felt like just, you know, watching the show and looking or learning a little bit about each of the participants, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like, to me, like Maxie, Nolan, and even Todd did have some years of experience under their belt. They may not have. Well, I know Maxie talked a lot about his work with music videos and things like that, but it seemed like Nolan did have some experience, and Todd as well. And then there was, I'm not good with names,
Mike.
Help me out, Mike.
Mike.
Who was the film. Yes, the film television artist. And then we had Farrah and Mo, who were both from Vegas. And I believe they both had the experience. I believe Farrah, if I'm not mistaken, Farrah did weddings. And I believe Mo maybe worked in a salon. Hi, Maxie.
Hi.
How are you?
I can help you with the breakdown of the Blush cast history,
yeah,
et cetera.
Could you do that, please? You see I'm struggling here.
Okay, so Mike had been in the industry for many years, like over 20 years. He started off doing hair, and then he became a makeup artist. He's a great special effects artist. He's been working on films and television for literally 25 years. Farrah did not just do weddings. Farrah, by the way, was the only girl on Blush that won any challenges, and she was the last girl standing.
Mm-hmm.
And she did weddings, but she also does, like, those Vegas celebrities for the Vegas magazines and, you know, the people who have shows and stuff like that. She actually, you know, has been doing makeup and hair for a long time. Mo works at Bellagio doing makeup out of the Bellagio, and she also does like projects on the side. Todd had been, Todd had been doing fashion for the longest time, and he was like a genius at doing like couture makeup and stuff that no one really ever got to see on the show.
Right.
Just like his work, like the style of makeup that he does was never, like, there was never a challenge that could represent what he does.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up like makeup he's done in the past, it's sort of amazing. He does the craziest like couture makeup. Nolan had been a MAC makeup artist for many years and was actually training people and teaching makeup for many years as well. A funny side note about Nolan is that he's a kickbox instructor as well. who else? Oh, Raynell. She actually has been doing makeup for a while in New York, too, and she does quite well. And she, I don't know exactly what kind of projects she does, but she's always working. That's all I know.
Right.
Jessica is the one that does mostly weddings and beauty stuff in Texas. Like, I think she's expanded, and she's actually with an agency in Texas now and is doing magazines and everything as well. Is that everybody?
I
forgot to talk about me.
There was another lady. I can see her face. I'm just trying to get her name.
Oh, Sharzi, my baby Sharzi.
Okay. Yeah.
Sharzi had worked at like every big makeup counter that there was. She's also, you know, doing and has done like done makeup for reality shows and gone on tour with and on location in other states with reality shows before she was on Bush. And I've actually worked with her recently on a music video for Kaz James, and he's some English artist, and she worked with me on that video, and she was great. And then there's me, who of course has been doing not just music videos, but I've been doing hair and makeup for red carpet stuff, music videos, commercials, even films, and everything you can imagine for like over 10 years before
every
I was ever.
Every time I talk about you, I keep forgetting to mention that you also do hair. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You know. It is what it is.
It's not whatever, Maxie.
I do hair. I'm actually known for doing, like, period stuff. And also I do, like, specialty hair. Like, I build those Gumbies for 80s black hair in commercials and in music videos. You know, hair by hair, I build the craziest hairdos. But I just, you know, have stayed away from fashion because, you know, I rebel against fashion. So that's the only thing I haven't really done is stuck with the constant vicious circle of fashion. Like, when fashion magazines call me to do editorials, I just say, because they literally have a reference of some other shoe or something like that. It just drives me nuts.
Okay.
But I'm glad that we're going to be talking about blush for how many episodes are you breaking this down to?
A couple of shows.
Is it a couple of shows?
Yeah. Let me ask.
Yeah, so I'm excited to answer questions. Like, people always, like, ask me, send me questions from all over the place to, like, MySpaces and whatever, and sometimes I don't really ever get to answer all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone has any questions about blush whatsoever, they could...
Let me ask you. You spoke a few minutes ago about, you know, you're known for the period. Hair and makeup.
Period hair. I'm known for all kinds of makeup. Like, I'm pretty versatile when it comes to makeup, but hair, you sort of, because you have to, as a makeup artist, really know all kinds of makeup, but for some reason, for hair, they sort of pigeonhole you. And, yeah, I do get called mostly... I mean, I do hair and makeup on most of the jobs I do, both hair and makeup. I at least design both and bring on an assistant or an additional hair and makeup person.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get hired for just hair, it's always specialty hair.
Gotcha.
Is what it is.
Gotcha. Well, how important is knowing, well, I think it's very important, but I just wanted to know, how important do you think knowing the different periods, how important was it to that reality show, The Blush?
Because well, I mean, the fact is, I have actually Farrah calling me on the line. I think she's having confusion trying to call in. Should I pick her up real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, hold on 1 second, people. I'll be right back.
Okay. I was trying to ask Maxie how important period makeup or knowing the different periods. You know, when I'm speaking of periods, I'm not just talking about 30s, 40s, 50s. I'm talking about 80s, 90s, and current day as well. Hi, Max. I was asking you, how important do you think period makeup?
The reason it's so important, period makeup, period, is because, like I said, the fashion industry doesn't come up with anything new. They always go backwards. They always want something from another era on any shoot you arrive. They always refer to past eras and periods or no matter what it is. And so you have to be prepared not only with, I've said it a million times, not only with the actual period, but also like a modern day version of that period, because they'll always ask for that, a modern day version of the 20s, the 30s, the 50s. And it's not just looking through the Kevin Coyne book and, you know, doing Marlene Dietrich, like there's so many different, there's the early 50s, the late 50s, there's the end of the 20s and the beginning of the 20s are totally different. And so people have to familiarize themselves. But I also believe that you should know some hair as a makeup artist, just grooming of a man's hair or beautifying a woman's hair, straightening and or curling a woman's hair, because either that or I've just referred someone, actually, a makeup artist who was like, oh, well, there's this job, and they want me to do both hair and makeup. And it was for a decent rate, and I said, well, all you have to do is go ahead and accept that job, bring on an additional person that just does hair. And that way you don't ever have to turn down jobs that are both hair and makeup, even if you don't do any hair. You should just bring on a hairdresser with you and design the hair, and have the hairdresser build the hair for you. It's totally legitimate to do that. I've seen it done on 1,000 sets, and I think that no one should, especially in these times, turn down a job because of, like, they're not able to do hair, because they could just bring someone on that can, and they can design it. And it's the same thing on many films I've seen, not films I was on, just films I was visiting the set on, because these were, like, glamorous, huge films I haven't worked on. But I went and I, on the sets, like, there were people just designing things from the clothing through to the makeup that never touched anyone's face.
Right.
And so why not do that in fashion? Why not do that in music videos? Why not do that in commercials? I think Farrah's on now.
Yes,
she
is.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Farrah.
Hi,
Farrah.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry about the delay.
Oh, not a problem. Well, now that you're on the line, Farrah, thank you for coming. Now that you're on the line, can you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how you started your career in makeup?
Absolutely. My whole makeup history, I guess, started when I got here to the U.S. I'm from Iran. And in Iran, women are veiled and covered in scarves. And I remember getting to the U.S. and walking off the airplane to the airport and seeing all of these beautiful women with these beautiful faces and, you know, how beauty was celebrated in the U.S. rather than covered was just very appealing to me. And I think at that moment, I decided that at a very early age, I think I was 6 or 7, I decided that that's definitely something that I wanted to get into, and it always fascinated me. So I sort of devoted my life in kind of moving my career in that direction, and here I am, years and years later, still at it and still loving it.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about how you even entered the competition on Blush. How did that whole process come about?
It was actually really funny. I remember watching Sheer Genius because I'm also a hairdresser as well. And I love both things equally. They're both great creative outlets for me, and I adore both of the professions. But I remember watching Sheer Genius and just jumping up and down at the screen and yelling at the TV because I just felt like I wanted to be on the show and I wanted to be part of the competition, and I just felt like I had something to offer. I just felt like I could have done so much better than a lot of the contestants. I mean, honestly, I hate to say that, but, you know, I guess it's my competitive spirit. I don't know. But I remember thinking, wow, it would be so amazing if they had a show like this for makeup artists, because there really isn't, you know, a platform like that for makeup artists. Oftentimes we're sort of like the behind the scenes crew member. So, you know, we're not out in the limelight getting a lot of kudos very often. So I was actually having lunch and got this strange telephone call and just put it through voicemail, and I remember listening to it on the way back to the salon, and it was someone calling me from a production company in L.A. saying that they were referred to me through a production company that I'd worked with in L.A., and they were doing this competition show, this reality show, with the makeup artist, and I almost drove off the road. I was so excited. So honestly, to this day, they never really told me who exactly it was that referred me to them, but I called back immediately, and I was jumping up and down, and I was like, you don't understand, I'm already on the show. I'm already packed, and I'm at the airport already. I have to be part of the show. I was very excited, and so they came to Vegas. I auditioned, and I went through the crazy, crazy process of getting on that show. And made it, and I was just very fortunate, and I had a great time. It was a really neat experience.
So what was the audition like? Did you just have to come in and do makeup, or?
No, actually, I think that they just wanted to make sure that you were TV friendly. Yeah, they just sort of wanted to make sure that there was something maybe about you that for some reason resonated with them, or was, you know, somehow maybe different to them. I don't know. They were looking for something, and again, it was very hard to get that out of them, even when we had already made it. You know, we kind of asked, why us? You know, why the Nine?
Right.
And it was just really strange because they would never really answer that question for us. So we never really knew, I think, except for Maxie, of course, why we were chosen. We're all chosen for our own reasons. You know, Maxie was just, you know, I mean, it should have really been called the Maxie Show. We were all just kind of like the backup dancers, you know, to Maxie was like the lead singer kind of thing.
Well, which was the disturbing thing. They should have focused more on, like, getting, you know, they promoted it like it was the 10 artists from across America that, you know, got together and were fighting to be number one or whatever. But it was actually like 10 different personalities that got together.
Yeah. I think they were just looking for people that they thought that they just wanted a diverse group of people. And I think that the reason why I appealed to them was because I was, you know, like the single mom from Las Vegas, which is kind of, you know, like an interesting place to be from. And I'm the single mom, you know, trying to make it out there as a makeup artist or whatever. I think that was kind of like the angle at which they looked at me at. And then, you know, there was Mo, who was, you know, like, you know, the beautiful, younger, kind of spunky, sassy redhead from, you know, Sin City. And then you have Mike, who is a more established, older makeup artist. So they just wanted a diverse group of people. And I was just lucky enough to fit into one of the profiles that they were looking for, I think. But you definitely had to show that you had experience as a makeup artist. I mean, they didn't just take your word for it. So you had to take in, like, a portfolio, and you had to speak with them about your work history and give them referrals, of course, and things like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say everyone was actually talented in their own way, in their own, like, genre of makeup, but some of those people never really got to highlight what they were good at because the challenges didn't really have anything to do with what they were good at. Like, poor Jessica was just, you know, she was like a beauty makeup artist, you know, she couldn't there with crazy stuff.
You know, but I'm thinking that, you know, they were out to find the world's greatest makeup artist, so I'm sure that there were going to be challenges that you weren't going to be good at. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was unfortunate for Jessica because it just they didn't focus on something that was a strong suit for her very early on. Even for that,
yeah,
like,
if we would have started with weddings, she probably would have done great at the wedding.
That's what I'm saying. It was just the way the cards fell. It was the challenge that she was presented with first, unfortunately. You know, because had it been like a beauty challenge instead of like a creative avant-garde challenge, she probably would have won the dang thing, you know?
Right.
So it just kind of was like when it was presented, you know, where your head was when the challenge came. I remember, I mean, I do tons and tons of weddings every year, but I did very poorly at that challenge because I think it was just where my head was. I was extremely just exhausted. I really miss my little boy, and I mean, I don't mean to sit here and throw excuses, but honestly, truthfully, that's where my head was. I mean, my heart was not truly in the competition at that point anymore. You know what I mean?
How long was the competition? How long were you away from home?
I know that I personally was gone for almost a month and a half.
Okay.
And that was very difficult. That was very difficult being away from, you know, your 6-year-old son for a month and a half and having very limited communication.
Right.
So that was tough, and it was kind of getting to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had that sort of strike against me, whereas, you know, there were other members of the cast that, you know, didn't have a little one at home that they were worrying about. So, you know, I felt at a little tiny bit of a disadvantage because I was constantly thinking in the back of my head, you know, I mean, as I'm sure a lot of people with children can understand, you know, what is he doing? Is he okay? You know what I mean? It started really kind of getting to me, so.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the challenges. Like, the very first challenge, what was going through your mind? Because if I'm not mistaken, that was the one with the food. Is that correct?
Yeah. It was crazy. And I think we all saw it coming. We all saw it coming. We knew that at some point food was gonna happen. But I didn't think that it was going to be our first challenge by any means. And it was funny because Maxie walked up to it. He thought it was like a buffet, and he, like, started eating stuff. It was so cute. And you know, and then they were like, no, the stuff is not for eating. You know, it was funny. It was, like, before the camera started rolling. Because there was all this yummy food sitting on the table, and the next thing, you know, we knew, they were saying, okay, we'll use it as makeup, you know. And it was just... And it was really strange because I was thinking they want us to make pigments. They actually want us to make makeup from this stuff. And I had my back turned against the whole entire group of people in the room, so I didn't see that people were actually, like, gluing stuff to, like, these model faces. That didn't even cross my mind, not at any point, to actually pick up, like, a raisin and glue it to someone's face, which is brilliant. You know, which is what Nolan did, and is very much like, you know, what a lot of the members did, which is with the sugar, and they glued the sugar on in patterns on the faces, like Maxie did, which was brilliant, as eyeshadow. It never even occurred to me. You know, I was sitting there trying to muddle stuff, trying to make color, you know, to use as lipstick and lip stain and blush and all of this stuff, and it was just an absolute disaster. It was so funny.
Now, have you ever done anything like that before, like use fruits or vegetables or candy or whatnot to apply to the face, like a photo shoot or something like that?
It's really funny. I've never done it in a photo shoot. However, when I was younger and I got into trouble, I told you I had this fascination with makeup. And that was my dad's way. It was like the ultimate punishment for me to have my makeup taken away from me. So, and, you know, whenever I got in trouble, quite often, you know, he would take my makeup away, and I would learn crafty little ways of you know, substituting things around the house for makeup. I remember I used, like, Crayola markers one time for liner and lipstick, you know, and I used, I know that there were several times that I used, you know, like, you know, berries and stuff like that to redden my lips up with. I remember even going through the cupboard and, you know, getting, like, the nutmeg out and the cinnamon out and actually using it as shadow. So, yes, I actually had done that, but never on a model, never, like, on a set anywhere, just on myself, you know. So I was thinking, oh, I've got this in the bag, and then all of these other creative people just, like, pull this crazy stuff out of the air, and I was just like, wow, that was crazy. You know, I never occurred to me to glue this stuff on their face, you know. So I saw a lot of creativity in that room that day, and I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You know, there's a lot of real creative minds here, so I better step up my game.
How did the nutmeg and cinnamon turn out?
On myself, actually, yeah. Very well. What I actually did was I took the nutmeg and I remember wetting my finger a little bit and just kind of putting it in the crease of my eye, and it was fine. But I think I was smart enough to not go towards like the cayenne peppers and stuff, which is a mistake I think that Todd made.
Right.
And his model, oh, my God, that was such a mess. That was such a mess. But he was a really good sport about it. You know, he was a good sport about, realizing what he had done. And this poor girl was just tearing all over the place. And it was such a funny first competition. You know what I mean? It just really had everybody on their toes. And it kind of just woke everyone up and it got our creative juices running. It was neat.
So what about the competition where I believe Nolan was your partner, where you had to listen to them, they would give you direction, and you had to create on the model everything that they were saying to you. How hard was that?
You know what? Honestly, I have to say that was my favorite challenge. That was my favorite
challenge. Very well.
That we did.
Wow.
I guess, fortunately, I'm good at communicating, visual things, I guess, I discovered. And Nolan was also really good at it. And I think that I remember saying to myself, okay, Farrah, you know what, stay calm and just go step by step and hope that he hears what you're saying, you know, and he did it back. And it was amazing. I mean, they looked exactly like the pictures. And it was so funny because Maxie was, like, next to me. And his way of communicating is completely different. So he was, like, screaming and yelling and, like, you know, trying to get his idea across. And
it was my least favorite challenge. Least favorite challenge.
But you know what, though? Your guys' stuff turned out wonderful. I mean, it turned out exactly like the pictures also. It was just, you know, the way that you communicated was totally different. I mean, here we were, like, all calm, and we were like, okay, sweetie, now I need you to take this at a 45-degree angle. And
no, but honestly, you guys looked exactly like, you know, the pictures. Ours just didn't. It wasn't my favorite challenge. But you know what? Even though by that time you were already like totally wanting to go home, saying you wanted to go home every day, saying you were just gonna mess up the makeup so that you could go home. And but even though you were at that disadvantage with the baby, you were the only girl that won two challenges, and you were the last girl standing, like I said earlier.
So how was that, Farrah? You were the last girl standing. How was that?
Awesome. It was, you know what? It was very bittersweet because I felt great about being the last girl standing, and I felt great about and very proud of myself, for winning competitions and stuff. But it was really just, you know, kind of sad also because I had made these amazing friends during the show. You know, there was Ray, and there was Mo and Jessica and help me out here, Maxie. The cute little person girl.
Charzy.
Cute little Charzy. And I just felt like they never got their moment in the sun. You know what I mean? And they were all so great at different things, and I just felt like they never got the chance to highlight their skill of skills, sort of. You know, so although it was great being the last girl standing, I just sort of wish that I could have kind of divvied it up and shared it with the rest of them. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But it was fun. It was neat.
But it was still a competition, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And, you know,
and we were in it to win it.
That's right. Now, back to the challenges. How difficult was it? Because a lot of people wanted to know, how difficult was it for you to do that showgirl challenge, the Vegas showgirl challenge?
Oh, my God, that was such a train wreck. Oh, goodness. what people don't realize, you know, I guess in mine and Mo's defense, which you'd think that we would be the ones that would be the most phenomenal at it because we live in Vegas, you know, for goodness sakes. And I think the only thing that I can say in our defense is that showgirls, part of their job as a showgirl is to do their own makeup.
Right.
We, as makeup artists, don't ever get calls to go and do a showgirl's makeup. So we were completely unfamiliar with what to do. Yes, we've all seen showgirls, but we've never, I'm speaking for Mo and I, had never worked on a showgirl because in Vegas, that is something that is part of your job. You have to get there at a certain time, have your makeup on, have your outfit on. You know, it's part of what you do every night. So it's not like they have a makeup artist sitting there putting their makeup on. That's not what we do out here, you know.
I think it's very similar to the theater. Actors who are in the theater, a lot of times
exactly.
You don't have a lot of makeup artists because they know how to do their own, and it's a time
right.
thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and those girls can slap their face on in like 3 minutes, you know. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's actually really cool to watch. And I wish I had spent more time because I've been around 1,000 showgirls but never really sat there and watched them do their makeup, you know.
Right.
Who knew, you know, that was going to be a challenge in a competition show that I was on, you know.
Right.
But we should have known, and we really should have been more prepared, Mo and I. I personally thought that her work was really good, you know, for not ever having done it. I don't think that she ever has. I don't want to speak for her. I don't think that she had, like I hadn't. But I think that the only problem that she had with hers, I mean, mine was just a train wreck from top to bottom, but her deal was, I think that the mistake that she made was just the little feathers on the tips of the ends of her lashes.
Which, by the way, I have to take partial credit for Mo and your nightmare, because I just happen to have feathers and like these like lashes that matched
yeah,
their girl's outfit.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my god, well here they are. If you guys want to so I totally sabotaged their Vegas moment by accident, because I didn't know that Mo, you know, hadn't played around with feathers or whatever a lot, you know, and that
right.
you know, hers was like, they were Droopy City, you know. It was just
you
a
know, it
nightmare.
Was weird because
I felt
person,
so bad.
In person, you know, they were like this bright, loud color, and you were thinking, wow. But on a stage, it completely disappeared on their face. Anything other than the color black just completely faded away. You know,
that's why you can only have the color on one side. You have to have black underneath
right.
for the eye, the beauty of the eye, so that there's
that's
just blue when
I
she's buttered.
So much mascara. I had so much mascara up under that girl's eyelashes. You have no idea. No idea.
I know.
It was crazy, and it did not show up. It was awful, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is, like, just not, oh, my God, this is not
well, how
going
did you
well
feel,
at all.
How did you feel when the challenge was over and you were still in the competition after that particular challenge?
I felt very lucky because I felt like, honestly, I felt like it was a coin toss, you know.
Right.
I felt like it could have been Mo or I at that point, and I honestly think that the judges flipped a coin. So I think I just got really lucky at that moment. I don't think that mine was any worse or better than hers. I think that both of us had made the same mistake. And, you know, both of us kind of deserved to be on the chopping block. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they went back and, like, you know, picked a you know, number out of a hat or something. Seriously.
Well, I thought that the winner even, Nolan, won. And the goal was, we were told, to make their eyes as big as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, it didn't even happen. Like, even Nolan's girl wasn't, her eyes weren't any wider than you guys' girl or whatever. It was literally just the feather, and the feathers and the weird pink lashes. So I'm so sorry.
Maxie was such a doll, because the first thing that he did was run up to us, and he was like, oh my gosh, I totally can help you, I've got this and this, and he was always so generous with his bag of goodies, you know. He came prepared with like all of these amazing, creative, crazy things in his kit that none of us would dream of having. I mean, he had like stencils and glitter and feathers and like, you know, Jimmy Hoffa's body, you know what I mean? I mean, it was just insane. It was insane, the stuff that this guy was pulling out of his bag, you know, and it was just really impressive. But he was very sweet with it, and he wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to do all of this myself and use all of these tricks that you guys didn't think of. I'm going to take it and I'm going to win it, which he probably would have done if he had to have shared his wisdom with us, you know what I mean? I honestly...
No, I don't think so, honey. I think there was other issues for besides... you know, makeup that were involved in this competition. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
I was never.
I mean, you're
it was
you're
not a competition I could
nuts.
Have won.
No, you're not.
I could have never won.
Nuts. Yeah. But you're nuts in an amazing, eccentric, creative, brilliant way. That I just don't think was, like, cohesive with their idea of, like, the ideal makeup artist. Right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally agree. That's why I was going to talk last week about, you know, we know what set etiquette is. You know, don't step into the shot, blah, 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 blah. Don't stand in people's eye line waiting to touch them up. Whatever the set etiquette is. But there's a big difference between set etiquette and set personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you actually have to feel out your environment and the people hiring you and their personalities, and in order to get hired back, it's not just your work and whether you did a great job and followed every rule. It's also like, do they like you?
All right.
And sometimes they don't like me.
But you know what though? Honestly, I will say this. You are the kind of person, Maxie, that you're very striking, and you're just, you know, you're unconventional, and on first sight, you know, people are very intimidated by you, but the minute that they speak to you, the minute that they just talk to you for 5 minutes, they're in love with you. You know what I mean? So as far as, I mean, I understand where the judges are coming from, but honestly, the judges never sat there and had a heart-to-heart with you. So they thought that you were like some crazy maniac, and you were like this sweet, amazing, very creative and very passionate person, and they never saw that, and that kind of irritated me a little bit. You know what I mean? Because
well, I also went off on the judges, but this isn't about, like, I'm the only person that told judges, I don't have time for you right now, or whatever. But the point is, this isn't about me, this is about you, Sarah. So what are you doing now? What's going on in your life now? What was your last job? I told them that you do, like, these Vegas magazines and all these, like, Vegas stars that do the shows out there. But tell them about your
still doing a lot of that. I'm very limited as to what I can do because I do, you know, I have a six-year-old son, and I can't do the whole, like, you know, going away to L.A. for 3 months anymore like I used to for, like, motion pictures and stuff like that. And I just can't do that kind of stuff. And personally, I don't miss it. I'm a lot older now, and I just don't have that kind of stamina, you know, the whole get up at, like, 5:30 in the morning, go to bed at 1 o'clock at night every day for 3 months. You know, I can't do it anymore. So I'm a little bit grateful. I'm a little bit grateful that you know, I am limited and can't, you know, I'm not able to do that. But now I actually, believe it or not, just got a gig as the key hair person for a reality show that's going to be shot here in Vegas. And I can't really talk a lot about it. But that's pretty much the next big gig coming up for me. So I'm looking forward to that. I know, and it's going to be so nice to be on the other side of the fence, you know what I mean? It's going to be so amazing to not being filmed.
So, Sarah, would you do another reality show as a participant, I guess?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, would you participate on another reality show again as a participant, whether it be hair or makeup?
You know what? Honestly, it would depend on where my head was at, really, because you have to be mentally prepared for something like that.
Trying to talk Sarah into going on to the Shark Tank because she has a genius, many genius inventions that she comes up with, like, that I've heard of in the house. Like, at night, we would tell each other, like, our ideas and stuff. And she has the most genius inventions that will revolutionize the world. And so I want her to go on Shark Tank.
Oh, my goodness, Maxie. I don't know if I have that in me. You know what I mean? That's crazy. I don't know if I have
It's just for one day. It's not like a whole month like we were stuck in that house. Like, people don't understand that you're in those houses with no phone, no TV, no, you can't leave the house. It's really not a log ride.
Weird. Do you remember the first night that we were there and how creeped out that we got that we were locked in? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Someone went up to the door and we were like, oh, my God, they just locked us in. Like, we were locked in to this loft, and we could not leave. And we were, like, on the second or third story of this building, and there was no way out. You know, I mean, literally, they had somebody on the other side making sure that we didn't get out, and, I mean, there was someone there for our safety. you know, so in case there was a fire or something, they would, of course, let us out. But we were, like, for the most part, locked into this building every evening because they wanted to ensure the integrity. Yeah, they wanted to ensure the integrity of the show.
But we weren't allowed out during the day either.
Yeah, I mean, we were not allowed out. I mean, it was just, it was really weird. It was very strange. I was not prepared for that, and that was a little bit weird. And I remember being there that first night, and it really freaked Jessica out. Do you remember that?
Because it's like Big Brother makeup artist.
Yeah, I felt a little Big Brother-ish, yeah. And Jessica got really upset, you know, I remember that. And I remember thinking, wow, this is kind of interesting, you know what I mean? I didn't sign up for this, you know. I mean, I thought I was just going to be putting makeup on some people, you know. I didn't think I was going to be locked up in a house, you know, not able to talk to anybody or have any outside communication. And, you know, even the members of the crew were not allowed to communicate with us. And it was just really weird. We felt very secluded and very kind of outcasts at times, you know. And it was just kind of all of us against all of them, sort of, at certain times, you know.
Exactly.
But it was an interesting experience. I'm glad I did it. I've asked myself many times if I would do it again, and the answer is yes, I would. Just because it really tests your mental strength. I mean, it really does. It all came down to strength in the end. I think that it was way more than, you know, your skills as a makeup artist or whatever. It was just really, like, how strong are you mentally? Because you had to – there were some very, very crazy moments and moments of, like, high anxiety and I can't believe that I lived through. You know what I mean? I was just so certain. I mean, I know, Maxie, that you feel the same way. There are certain times where I just wanted to throw my brushes down and just go, you know what? F this. I'm out of here. You know what I mean?
There was only one quitting that they showed, but I quit about 4 or 5 times. And you're right about the mental strength, because I'm, like, really mentally weak. So it was tough times for me.
Yeah. I mean, you really did. It really, really tested your mental strength, for sure.
Like, they didn't even show the times that we had breakdowns, crying our eyes out.
I know.
Like, really hardcore, like, at night, just drinking a glass of wine, crying.
Yeah, for sure.
Over, you know, it was really hard being there. It was like being in jail.
I know, and then, like, when people started going home, you know, when it really got kind of tough, you know, because you'd get close to people and then they'd get sent home. And I remember telling Mo one time, you know, she was really upset because it was going to be either her or I. We knew that, you know, that last competition that her and I were together, and we knew that we were on the chopping block. And, you know, she was looking at me all tearful, and I was looking at her all tearful, you know. And then I turned around and I said to her, I'm like, Mo, this is crazy. It's not like we're dying. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll see you in like 3-4 days. You really feel like you're dying. You know, you feel like the person is dying, because the minute that they get kicked off the show, you're not allowed to have any contact with them anymore. You know, they're basically whisked away, and the rest of the group is whisked away to another area, and you're not allowed to even say goodbye to them. So it's kind of like, in a way, you know, it's like grieving their death when they're gone, you know. But in her case, in my case, you know, the competition was down to, you know, it was kind of nearing the end, and I was like, Mo, you know, I'm sure I'll see you in like a few days. This is not goodbye. We live in the same town, for Christ's sake, you know. I'll see you soon, you know. And she was like, oh, yeah. You know, because it feels so final, you know, when you get kicked off. It's weird.
I did. I wanted to slit my wrists every time someone else got kicked off. It was so sad. Like,
it was awful.
You couldn't even, you could not literally, people, for those at home, not literally swimmers, but you know what I mean? I could really, it was.
Literally, do not slit your wrists. Please, listen.
I have to clear it up. When I say things, I have to clear up when I'm joking, because people take everything as a serious. But, it was so sad. When Jessica left, I mean, I had known her for, what, 12 hours? I was like, oh, my God, how could they?
No, it's funny because, you know, I had known her for a lot longer than that because, you know, we had been together through the whole process of selection. We were still being selected. They were still making their decisions. when I had met, I was part of a group that was from out of LA, obviously. So it was like Mo and me, Jessica, Todd, Ray, you know, and all of us were out of town.
I was actually the last. I was the first one they interviewed and the last one that signed on. Because I had all these stipulations, but they had to change in the contract.
You did.
I wasn't even fitting to be on the show if they were going to reveal my age or anything.
My last name, my age.
Your gender. Yeah, my
gender.
If they were to reveal that I was a male.
Are you a girl or a boy? I still don't know. No one knows.
Oh, please. But anyhow, so yeah, it was weird for me getting on that show as well. Because it was a long process. While you guys were in a hotel, I was still arguing with them.
Right. But at least you got to be, like, in your own environment. You know what I mean? I mean, we were, like, holed up in a hotel. And although they treated us very well, they were very, very sweet to us, and they treated us very well. But the thing is that, you know, we were still, like, in this weird limbo stage, you know? And all one by one, we started getting the phone calls, you know, yes or no or whatever, you know, and it was really weird. It was, oh, my gosh, it just, oh, I remember going, oh, if I came all the way down here and spent all of this time and do not get on the show, I just don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, like, scream at the top of my lungs or something just because there was so much anxiety. You know, they took us to get tested, like, we had to do the weird, like, that mental test. Maxie, did you have to do that?
Evaluation? Yeah, the
and
mental
then,
test. They were like, have you ever thought of killing yourself? Have you ever thought of killing someone else? Have you ever heard? I mean, it was just, like, really into, and then they would ask you funny questions like, do you like blue more than you like orange? And are you mad at orange? Like, weirdest.
And then it would ask, like, I mean, there were tons of questions. I mean, there were, like, 800 or something crazy questions like that. And it took forever, and I remember by the end of it, I was like, okay, already, you know, yes, I am insane. Like, why do I need this test to prove that, you know? And it was just because it was like, do you remember, it was like, okay, would you rather go slow in a fast car, or would you rather go fast in a slow car?
They tried to trick you, and you could never come up with your own, like, lie or anything, because the questions were, like,
Like 500 questions later, they would ask the same question, but, like, in a different way. So if you lied, they would catch you. It was so weird.
Yes.
And then we had to
that
go
is
get
true.
Like,
on that test, they would go one. Pardon me?
Did you have to go get the physical?
Oh, yeah, there was a physical, but the worst thing still was the not, because I tried to possibly lie on a couple of the questions, and they, you know, because I was thinking, well, no, I'd rather go in a slow car that drives fast or whatever it is, and then down the road, they would be like, well, do you like to go on a slow horse that runs fast? Or do you, I mean, like, they try to really mess with you, and then I would be like, well, but I do like a fast horse that runs slow. So I think I just grew up. But you know what? Another odd fact is, Blush, they didn't pick it up for a second season. However, you know, right after Blush left, it revolutionized the Lifetime Network. I mean, they, not only did they get Project Runway or whatever, but their people are really talking about Lifetime now. And also, Blush shut down Max Factor. Like, Max Factor is no longer sold in the United States at all shortly after Blush. I think it was, like, their last hurrah at trying to establish, make money in the United States, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And they literally shut down.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. That's weird. I wasn't even aware of that, actually.
Yeah.
So there's, like, no Max Factor in the store right now?
Uh-uh.
I think they're
kind of
like selling the last little bit.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this. Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Wow, what a trip.
I mean, we shut that company down, a 100-year-old company, with one show. Oh, my God. I feel so sorry. Max Factor's rolling in his grave. First, the grandson gets busted for rape, and then there's Blush.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. Oh, my God, that's terrible. Okay, well, moving right along.
Yes, we have ran out of time.
Yes.
This has been a very wonderful conversation. Thank you so much, Farah, for joining us tonight. We're glad to have
you. Thank
you.
It was a pleasure.
And thank you, Matthew, as always, for stepping up and being with us.
Bye. Talk to you guys next week. Thank you for allowing me to.
Love you.
Bye.
Makeup artist
Bye,
power.
Bye, Farah. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Cynthia, are you still there? Okay, I guess everyone has gone. Okay, I just wanted to quickly say for those of you who are still listening, stay tuned to next week's show. We have part two of a series on blush coming up, and we'd like you to join us for that conversation. We'll have another participant from the Lifetime reality series Blush on with us next week. So stay tuned to our profile page, and you'll be able to hear who that is. Again, as always, you can check my sister and I out on Facebook, Twitter. We're on Facebook as Illusions Cosmetics, on Twitter as Illusions Beauty, and you can check us out on our website, www.illusionsbeauty.com. We also have our blog. You can check that out at www.illusionsbeauty2.blogspot.com. And again, we were glad to have you join us on our conversation about blush with Farah Carter of the reality series Blush and Maxie, who always joins us every week. So stay tuned for more on the series of Blush next week. Good night.